So I'm back at Slandy. It's January 22nd, 2016. It is now 25 minutes or so after 8 o'clock. And I'm sitting in the car. I'm driving to work on this beautiful sunny morning here in Montreal. And I just finished an audio boom about the Raspberry Pi. And at the end, I started thinking about music shops, local music shops, and how sometimes they don't carry everything, or even if they carry everything, they don't always have everything in stock for one to look at and play around with. And it started me thinking about audio equipment and musical instruments, and then it dawned on me that we're right in the middle of NAMM 2016. It started yesterday. Now NAMM, for those of you who don't know, stands for the National Association of Music Merchants, and it is basically a trade show once a year, full out, bang on, super blowout music trade show where all the major manufacturers and not so major manufacturers of musical instruments get together, show off their wares, and make announcements for new products. And that's exactly what they've been doing. Now, a couple of the blogs that I read yesterday and some stuff that I looked at last night seems to say that there's some lackluster in this year's NAMM. Not too many really great innovative products, and a lot of people for some reason are poo-pooing the fact that modular synthesizers and analog synths have seemed to have made a comeback this year at NAMM. In fact, a lot of the previews and little hints and rumors were mostly about that. All these crazy... What the heck was that? That car made a really strange noise. It sounded like the horn was going off continuously. Weird. So, so it seems analog synths and more in particular, modular synthesizers are making a huge, huge hit at NAMM this year. Now, for those of you who may not know what a modular synthesizer is, you might know what an analog synth is, the Moogs and all those. You may not necessarily know what a modular synthesizer is. And basically what it is, let's see if I can say this in a nutshell real quick, but synthesizers have multiple circuits inside. So you'll have oscillators to make the actual sound. So they generate the actual sound you'll hear. They have filters. They have envelope filters. So they'll have some filters which are... sometimes voltage control filters, what are known as VCFs. The oscillators are also known as VCOs, or voltage controlled oscillators, which means that to vary the pitch of the oscillator, they use voltage. And the standard for many years has been 1 volt per octave. So if you take a volt and split it up into, 8 parts, whatever that is, 1 divided by 8, I'm not sure. It's one, or I guess it would be 0.13? No, 0.112 or something like that. So basically what it means is that for every note and semi-note, there's a corresponding voltage level change. And that voltage level change then tells the oscillator to play that note, either higher or lower. And what I mean by that note, it would start off at, say, let's just take middle C. So if you take middle C and then play D, the next D up from middle C would be, let's say arbitrarily, let's give middle C 4 volts. So D above middle C would be 4.113 volts or something to that effect. So with a voltage control oscillator, you can do exactly that. Then there's a, hang on, it's a bit precarious here, driving. There's 3 lanes that merge into one, so it's a little bit tricky here. Then you got what they call a voltage control filter, which appropriately, that's exactly what it means. You control all the filters and you can modify the sound using voltage. And then you have voltage control, I think envelopes, but people correct me if I'm wrong. But envelopes will change the way the sound, the envelope of the sound. In other words, the note, how the attack of the note. Okay, because usually it's attack, decay, sustain, release. So what that means is the attack of the note, whether it comes on all of a sudden or whether it gradually builds up. Then decay, once it's attacked, does it sustain, does it stay, or does it start dropping off? Then sustain works along with decay. Sustain allows it to remain for a longer period of time. And then release is, once the note is released, the key is released, or the voltage is removed, I suppose, then what happens to the sound? Does it die off right away, or does it smoothly release, and for how long? So with all those four elements, you can create various sounds, but also recreate the sonic characteristics of real instruments. I won't get into the whole thing, but that's basically what an ADSR envelope does. I'm just going to check my... Okay, I've got 4 minutes left. So then on top of that, you have all sorts of resonant filters and other kind of filters that can be applied on top of that. Sometimes you have very specialized oscillators. Then there's things like sequencers. So, okay, great, now you have your notes. Then you can throw them through a sequencer. Again, a modular synthesizer may have a built-in sequencer, which only maybe plays a series of notes. Sort of, it could play maybe chord progressions, or there could be an arpeggiator, which means it'll play a series of, when you strike a key or even a chord, it'll play those notes, you know, one or two octaves above, and usually in a staccato thing. So you, let's say you're playing beep, you'd have beep 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 beep. You could have just two beep 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 beep, you know, and that kind of thing. So very reminiscent of, if you think of the 1980s synths and anything like, I don't know, Tangerine Dream or Jean-Michel Jarre, Gary Numan. I mean, there's so many artists that use the arpeggiator too, the effect. So that's another filter, or another modular or module that you can get for a modular synthesizer. And what the big thing today is, people are building these things on their own, and there's a whole sort of cottage industry built around these modular synths, and people will build them in their basements or in their kitchens, for God's sake, and then sell them. And some of these things are really quite exclusive. You could pay several hundred, if not several thousand dollars for one particular module that makes a particular sound. And there's a standard, well, I think there's two standards. The one that comes to mind right away is called Eurorack, which is basically a racking system. So these modules are built with the same depth, not the same width, but the same depth, same height, and they will fit into these racks. So you can think of these racks as sort of like a rack in a computer room would have. And there's a bus, not the bus you would take to work, but a bus in the back that carries voltage, and it's always the same voltage, whatever it may be. Let's just call it, I don't know, 5 volts, I'm not even sure of the standard for Eurorack. Let's just say it's 5 volts. And so all the synthesizer modules would use 5 volts as their common voltage. So they would just plug in, so automatically they have the voltage. And then the neat thing is, how do you connect the modules together? Well, believe it or not, it's like an old telephone switchboard. You have these quarter-inch jacks, and you plug them in, usually monophonic, and you plug them in, and you can create different sounds just by plugging in, you know, the oscillator into the ADSR filter, into the sequencer, into the arpeggiator, and then finally into the output, which then feeds it to your audio system or into your computer sound card or whatever you're using to monitor the sound. So that, in a nutshell, is how a modular synth works, and they're really, really big at NAMM this year. Thanks for listening.